Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly with Sarah and Mike, your guide to the aviation industry. Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly. I'm Sarah, joined as always by Mike, our resident airline sector analyst. Today, we're diving deep into Southwest Airlines' 10Q filing for the second quarter of 2026, filed on July 23rd. This one has some genuinely unusual accounting dynamics buried inside it. And Mike, I think our listeners are going to want to hear every bit of this.
Absolutely, Sarah. And before we get into the mechanics, let me give our listeners the one-sentence version of what this filing is really saying. If we reduce this filing to one sentence, it's this. Southwest is executing a fundamental reinvention of its revenue model. Bag fees, assigned seating, co-brand restructuring, and the financial results are starting to move in the right direction. But a $285 million accounting reversal buried in Q2 means the headline numbers are not as clean as they appear.
And where does that put Southwest in the business cycle, in your view?
Based on this filing, Southwest Airlines is operating in a structural reset. This is not a normal mid-cycle expansion. The company is simultaneously rebuilding its product architecture, repricing its revenue streams, and unwinding legacy accounting positions. That combination puts it squarely in reset territory. Not recovery, not expansion, reset.
Let's hold that thesis and test it against the evidence as we go, starting with the material changes versus the prior quarter filing. Mike, the headline numbers look extraordinary. Walk us through what actually happened.
So, quarter over quarter, the numbers are genuinely striking. Operating income increased 86.4% from $330 million in Q1 2026 to $615 million in Q2 2026. Net income more than doubled, up 102.6% from $227 million to $460 million. Now, for context, an 86% sequential jump in operating income is not a normal seasonal swing. Even accounting for the fact that Q2 is historically the strongest quarter for airlines due to summer travel demand, and the filing explicitly acknowledges that summer months and peak travel periods drive stronger revenues. That magnitude of improvement demands explanation.
And the explanation is not purely operational, is it?
Correct. And this is where the filing gets genuinely complex. Two major forces are at work simultaneously, and they cut in opposite directions. On the positive side, Southwest has been rolling out what the filing describes as significant business transformation initiatives. Specifically, the introduction of bag fees for most fare products, effective May 28, 2025, and the launch of assigned and extra legroom seating, effective January 27, 2026. These drove what the filing characterizes as meaningful increases in ancillary revenue. The co-brand agreement with JP Morgan Chase was also amended twice in 2025 to incorporate benefits tied to both of these initiatives, reclassifying a larger portion of co-brand revenue into passenger revenues. So the revenue architecture is genuinely changing.
But then there's the breakage revenue reversal.
Right, and this is the critical piece. In Q2 2026, Southwest recorded a $285 million reversal of previously recognized breakage revenue. Here's the backstory. When Southwest eliminated expiration dates on flight credits back in July 2022, they issued approximately $7.9 billion in non-expiring flight credits between July 2022 and December 2025. Management had originally estimated that roughly 23% of those credits would never be redeemed by customers, and they recognized breakage revenue on that assumption over that entire period. Now, based on updated redemption trends, they've revised that estimate down to approximately 20%. That 3 percentage point change triggered a $285 million reversal, meaning revenue that was previously recognized had to be taken back. And the filing is explicit. No breakage revenue related to this population of credits was recognized in the first half of 2026. So the entire reversal relates to years 2022 through 2025.
So this is a prior period correction flowing through Q2 2026 results.
Exactly. And the filing explains why the timing landed in Q2 specifically. Management states that the timing was impacted by, and I'm paraphrasing closely here, a combination of quantitative trends and qualitative factors affecting customer behavior, including the company's recent significant business transformation initiatives, changes to fare products and distribution channels, and changes to its flight credit policies. The argument is that these transformation changes altered historical customer redemption patterns and reduced the predictive value of historical information. So management determined that customer behavior observed through Q2 2026 provided a more reliable basis for estimating the ultimate level of unredeemed flight credits. That's a meaningful disclosure. It's management saying their own strategic pivot made their prior accounting estimates unreliable.
Let's apply the causality chain here. If the breakage reversal is a one-time item and the transformation revenue is real and recurring, what does that mean going forward?
The causality chain runs like this. If the ancillary revenue from bag fees and assigned seating is durable and growing, which the filing implies but does not quantify with specific forward numbers, then the underlying operating trajectory is genuinely improving. But if customer redemption behavior on those remaining $1.8 billion in outstanding non-expiring flight credits continues to surprise to the upside, there could be additional reversals. The filing explicitly warns that breakage estimates remain subject to variability based on fare changes, ticketing policy changes, seat availability, and economic factors. That's not boilerplate. That's management flagging a live variable.
Let's move into management commentary signals. What's the tone coming out of the MD&A?
The tone is measured, and in some places, notably cautious. The filing contains language that I'd characterize as deliberately hedged on the macro side. Management states directly that factors such as general economic conditions, the amount of disposable income available to consumers, unemployment levels, corporate travel budgets, and external events, and I'm quoting here, have created and may continue to create significant volatility in the company's financial results. That phrase, significant volatility, is not throwaway language. That's management explicitly telling you the operating environment remains unpredictable.
And on the forward guidance side?
Very limited. The filing states that operating results for the 3 and 6 months ended June 30th, 2026 are not necessarily indicative of the results that may be expected for future quarters or for the year ended December 31st, 2026. That's standard 10Q boilerplate, but in the context of a quarter that included a $285 million one-time reversal, it carries extra weight. Management is essentially saying, do not extrapolate Q2. One other notable signal, the fuel hedging disclosure. The filing confirms that Southwest discontinued its fuel hedging program entirely during 2025, citing higher hedging premium costs. The company states it does not intend to add additional fuel derivatives. For a carrier that historically used hedging as a core cost management tool, this is a structural change in risk posture. Southwest is now fully exposed to spot jet fuel prices going forward.
That's a significant strategic bet. Let's get into the financial red flags and confirmations. What does the balance sheet and income statement tell you?
Let me start with what's confirmed positively. Cash and equivalents increased 13.9% quarter over quarter, from $3.33 billion to $3.79 billion. For a carrier of Southwest's size, holding nearly $4 billion in cash is a meaningful liquidity buffer. That's a confirmation, not a red flag. Operating income at $615 million on revenue of $2.01 billion implies an operating margin in the range of 30%, which, even adjusting for the one-time breakage reversal, would represent a materially improved margin profile versus historical airline norms, where operating margins typically run in the 10 to 15% range in strong quarters.
So even stripping out the breakage reversal, the underlying margins look strong?
That's the right question, and the filing doesn't give us a clean ex-reversal operating income figure. What we know is that the $285 million reversal reduced revenue, it was a negative to the top line. So the reported $615 million operating income was achieved despite that headwind, which means the underlying operational performance was even stronger than the headline suggests. That's actually a confirmation of the transformation thesis.
Now on the red flag side, what concerns you?
Two things. First, total debt stands at $4.93 billion, all of it classified as long-term. The filing doesn't provide a detailed maturity schedule in the excerpted sections, so we can't assess near-term refinancing risk precisely. But at roughly 1.3 times the cash position, the debt load is meaningful. The causality chain here. If interest rates remain elevated and Southwest needs to refinance any portion of that $4.93 billion at higher rates, interest expense increases, compressing net income even if operating performance holds. Second, the residual fuel hedge costs. Approximately $79 million remained in accumulated other comprehensive income from previously closed hedge positions as of June 30th, 2026. Of that, $58 million will flow through fuel expense in the remainder of 2026 and $21 million in 2027. These are known quantified headwinds to future fuel expense. Not speculative, not contingent. They will hit.
Let's talk about risk disclosures. The filing notes no new or significantly escalated risk factors versus the prior quarter. But are there risks embedded in the narrative that deserve attention?
Yes, and I'd flag three. First, the breakage estimate risk is live. The filing explicitly states that approximately $1.8 billion in non-expiring flight credits remained available as of June 30th, 2026. If redemption rates continue to exceed prior estimates, additional reversals are possible. Management acknowledges this directly. Breakage estimates can be impacted by fare increases, fare sales, changes to ticketing policies, refund and exchange policies, seat availability, and economic factors. That's a long list of variables, and Southwest is in the middle of changing several of them simultaneously.
Which creates a feedback loop.
Exactly. The transformation initiatives that are driving new revenue are also the same factors making historical redemption data less predictive. Second risk, full fuel price exposure. With the hedging program terminated and no intention to reinstate it, Southwest is now a pure spot price buyer of jet fuel. In a period of oil price stability, that's fine. In a period of supply disruption or geopolitical shock, that's a direct hit to the income statement with no buffer. Third, the co-brand revenue reclassification. The filing notes that the JP Morgan Chase co-brand agreement was amended twice in 2025 to incorporate benefits tied to the bag fee and seating initiatives, reclassifying a larger portion of co-brand revenue into passenger revenues. This is a structural change in how revenue is categorized, which makes year-over-year comparisons less clean and could obscure underlying demand trends.
Let's move to liquidity and balance sheet stress. You mentioned the cash position. Give us the full picture.
From a cash flow standpoint, the picture is genuinely constructive. Cash and equivalents at $3.79 billion represents a 13.9% increase from Q1 2026's $3.33 billion. For context, pre-pandemic airline industry norms for cash as a percentage of annual revenue were typically in the 10 to 15% range. Southwest's current cash position relative to its revenue run rate is well above that historical norm, suggesting a deliberately conservative liquidity posture. Long-term debt at $4.93 billion is the primary balance sheet liability. The filing does not provide specific maturity dates in the excerpted sections, which limits our ability to assess near-term covenant or refinancing risk. What we can say is that the debt-to-cash ratio of approximately 1.3 to 1 is manageable but not comfortable. It leaves limited room for a significant revenue shock without requiring either additional borrowing or asset sales.
And the lease obligations?
The filing references lease obligations in the commitments and contingencies note, but the specific figures are not detailed in the excerpted MD&A text. What we do know is that airlines carry substantial operating lease obligations for aircraft, and Southwest's fleet commitments would represent a significant off-balance sheet or right-of-use asset obligation. Without the specific figures from the notes, we can't quantify this precisely, and I want to be careful not to speculate beyond what the filing provides.
Fair. Let's talk segments. Southwest operates as a single reportable segment. How do you analyze performance without segment breakdowns?
This is actually a structurally important disclosure in itself. The filing states explicitly that the company's chief operating decision maker, the president, CEO, and vice chairman, assesses performance for the company's single reportable segment and decides how to allocate resources based on net income or loss. That's the entire segment disclosure. There are no geographic breakdowns, no route level profitability disclosures, no domestic versus near international splits. From a margin durability perspective, this means we're analyzing Southwest as a monolithic operation. What we can say is that the transformation initiatives, bag fees, and assigned seating are clearly the dominant revenue story this quarter. The filing describes ancillary revenue as having increased materially year over year due to these new products. The co-brand reclassification adds another layer of revenue growth that is structural rather than volume driven. So the revenue mix is shifting. More ancillary, more co-brand, less pure ticket revenue as a proportion of the total. Whether that mix shift is margin accretive at the unit level, the filing does not tell us directly.
And what's the strategic bet management is making here?
Management is betting that Southwest can successfully migrate from a pure, low-cost, no-frills, open-seating model to a hybrid carrier with meaningful ancillary revenue streams, without alienating the core customer base that chose Southwest precisely because of its simplicity. That is a high-wire execution scenario with limited margin for error. The non-negotiable conditions for this turnaround thesis to hold are, in my view, three. First, ancillary revenue from bag fees and assigned seating must prove durable and not cannibalizes base ticket demand. Second, the remaining $1.8 billion in non-expiring flight credits must not generate further material reversals that obscure the underlying revenue trajectory. Third, fuel costs must remain manageable without the hedging buffer that Southwest historically relied upon.
And what breaks first if the strategy fails?
The weakest link in the execution chain is the breakage liability. If customer redemption of those $1.8 billion in outstanding flight credits accelerates further, perhaps driven by the new fare products making travel more attractive, Southwest faces additional revenue reversals that would mask the genuine operational improvement. That's the scenario where the transformation looks like it's working operationally. But the financial statements tell a confusing story, and management loses credibility with the market on the pace of the turnaround.
Let's close with what traders and long-term investors should be watching. What are the key metrics and the counter thesis?
From a capital allocation lens, the metrics I'd watch most closely are, first, ancillary revenue per passenger in subsequent quarters. If bag fee and assigned seating revenue is durable, it should show up as a consistent line item with growth. Second, the outstanding flight credit balance. If that $1.8 billion continues to decline through redemptions faster than management's updated 20% unredeemed estimate implies, watch for another reversal disclosure. Third, fuel expense as a percentage of operating costs. With no hedging program, this becomes the most volatile line item on the income statement going forward, and the $58 million in residual hedge costs hitting in H2 2026 will add a known headwind.
And the counter thesis? What would prove us wrong?
Two specific data points would challenge our structural reset thesis. First, if ancillary revenue per passenger grows sequentially for two or more consecutive quarters, while total passenger revenue also grows, meaning the new products are additive, not substitutive, that would suggest the transformation is further along than a reset phase company typically achieves. Second, if the outstanding flight credit balance declines to a level where management can credibly close out the breakage estimation risk entirely, the accounting noise disappears and the underlying earnings power becomes legible. either of those outcomes would push Southwest's cycle positioning from structural reset toward early recovery.
And revisiting our core thesis, does the full weight of the evidence confirm it?
It does, with one important nuance. The thesis that Southwest is executing a fundamental reinvention with improving financials but obscured by a significant one-time accounting reversal is confirmed by the filing. The 86% jump in operating income is real, but it's happening in the same quarter as a $285 million revenue reversal, the termination of a decades-long hedging program, and a reclassification of co-brand revenue. That's not a clean quarter. That's a company in the middle of rewriting its own financial architecture. On a valuation framing note, at current reported margins, this equity trades like a mid-cycle recovery story. But the accounting complexity means investors are pricing a narrative they can't yet fully verify.
Mike, this has been a genuinely fascinating filing to work through. Thank you for the depth of analysis.
Always. Southwest is one of the most structurally interesting stories in commercial aviation right now. Not because the numbers are great, but because the numbers are in transition. And that's where the real analytical work happens.
That's a wrap on our Southwest Airlines Q2 2026 Earnings Deep Dive. A quick reminder to our listeners, nothing on Aviation Intelligence Weekly constitutes investment advice. All analysis is based solely on publicly available SEC filings and is intended for informational and educational purposes only. We are not affiliated with Southwest Airlines or any of its affiliates. Always consult a qualified financial professional before making investment decisions. I'm Sarah, he's Mike, and we'll see you next week on Aviation Intelligence Weekly.